Hey guys, it's Leisha and Kenny here, and welcome back to the Not Me, Not Today podcast. Sorry for having to leave you hanging last time, but I needed to break them up or else they would have been too long.
Hello, and hello to everyone wherever you are in the world. I'll give a brief recount of where we left off last time. Kevin, Yossi, Marcus, and Carl, their guide, went into the jungle looking for adventure. Their relationships with one another became very strained. Eventually, they split up, with Kevin and Yossi continuing on the journey downstream on the jungle-made raft, and Marcus and Carl heading back to the nice foot-bandaging folk they left a few days ago. Kevin and Yossi hit a rough patch before the San Pedro Canyon. Kevin makes it to shore, and Yossi flies off the waterfall down the canyon, emerging alive on the other side. He finds his bag of supplies and tries to evaluate the condition of everything he has left.
Okay, well, I'll take it from here. The rice and beans were wet, as was nearly everything that wasn't kept in a waterproof bag.
I'm not surprised, really.
Me either. One thing that wasn't wet, however, was a little book Yossi's uncle had given to him just days before his death. He told Yossi it was lucky and it had kept him alive in times of danger. He said so long as he had that book, everything would be okay. This book, Yossi kept in a waterproof bag. That night, when Yossi set up camp, he felt vulnerable. He found a strong tree and got some palm branches and laid them down as a bed. He then set up the mosquito nets around him and covered those with a poncho.
I can't imagine the affliction of those mosquitoes. That would be an absolute nightmare.
And it was. It got to a point where he tried to sew his clothes together and any holes to minimise the biting.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really bad. Anyway, Yossi awoke to hear a rustling in the bushes, and there was a jaguar standing about 12 feet from him, motionless. Only its tail flicking gently. He screamed at it, telling it to go away, but it didn't move. Yossi reached into his bag for the lighter and bug spray and used it as a makeshift flamethrower. He sprayed it until all the repellent was gone and there was very little lighter fluid left.
Well, that's not a great start.
It's really not. Like, don't use it all. When it stopped, he struggled to see and was blinded by the sudden darkness. But after his eyes readjusted, which Yossi said was a very scary wait, the jaguar was gone. Yossi tried to keep to the riverbanks, but he came across parts he couldn't follow, so headed deeper into the jungle. He came upon some beautiful smaller waterfalls. He had Kevin's camera, which was also in a waterproof bag, but didn't take any pictures. He found himself lost again, desperate to try to find the river or even to be able to hear it. Suddenly he heard trickles and managed to find it, promising himself to never stray from the river again. He tried walking its banks, but on more than one occasion, he lost his footing and the weight of the backpack toppled him into the river.
After having an experience like that in the last river, I can't imagine how terrifying that would be, the panic each time.
One time he fell in and almost went over a waterfall. He kept trying to swim away, but the pack was weighing him down and dragging him under. He managed to grab onto a rock just before going over the edge and managed to get the pack out too.
I can see why they chose to leave that out. Too cliche to be real.
Probably.
Someone looking out for him though, that's a lot of luck.
It certainly was, and Yossi felt so too. Naturally, he clung to that book. He knew logically it wasn't likely to hold any special power, but if there's a time to believe, it would be now.
This has got to be affecting him mentally though in some way.
It was, and I'll cover more of this in depth in a bit. But he did spend a lot of the beginning part of his solo journey talking to Kevin, apologising and telling him that they will meet again. He also spoke to Marcus and Carl, apologising and questioning Carl's stories out loud.
You talk out loud to yourself all the time.
Those stories you have inside your head about things you should have said, I have those outside my head. He really did feel lucky though. Any time he couldn't breathe whilst in the water, he suddenly came up for air. He survived San Pedro Canyon. Any time he was hungry and he thought he couldn't go on, he found some more fruit. Just in the nick of time, he seemed to be okay. He felt this strong force is what gave him hope that he would survive, that this was all just a test of sorts. Oh, I also wanted to touch on that incident with the toothbrushing and using the last of the water.
Oh yeah, okay, cool.
So this is where that comes back up. Whilst Yossi was in the jungle, he rationed his beans and rice in case he met back up with Kevin. He wanted to share and consider Kevin, if they met back up. He didn't want to have eaten it all and Kevin would possibly die of starvation. He thought about what Kevin had said to him at that time, so he didn't eat all the food that he had, despite being starving.
Oh right, that is unusual. You think after a few days you'd just eat it.
Yeah, but it was mouldy because the jungle was nearly always wet. But Yossi rationed himself to one spoonful of rice and one spoonful of beans per day. He would forage for anything else he could find.
Was there not a lot of fruit and berries?
There were, but they were typically up high. Most of the low plants were inedible, and the fallen fruit in the floor was trampled, rotting, and had worms in it already. He had to use a fishing wire to get some fruit from a higher tree because he couldn't reach it or climb it. He managed to use the wire and loads of fruit fell down. He filled himself with it and carried some pieces for the journey. So, Yossi, as he's walking along this jungle, comes across some machete marks, branches cut clean off and signs of a pathway in human activity. He calls for Kevin frantically, hoping to find him, but he actually stumbles across three huts. There were four, but one of them was destroyed. Yossi marvelled at his luck. He thought that this was Lakura Playa, the deserted miner settlement. There was a log bed held off the ground with a support structure and a place to hang a mosquito net and have space to lie out fully and be protected.
Your brother built one of those, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He's really into his bushcraft. And yes, he built almost exactly that type of shelter. He didn't have a grass roof part, though. So, anyway, he sets up camp and looks around the campsite for anything useful he could find. Apart from a walking stick that could also be used from a spear to hunt or protect himself, there wasn't really much else. Not too far from the camp were fruit trees of various types. Yossi filled his arms and happily marched back to luxurious campsite.
Obviously not your standard type of luxurious campsite, but considering what he's been through, I do get it.
He removed his shoes and his feet were aching. His socks were soaked and crusted to his feet with pus and blood. He spent the night there and slept relatively well.
I'd probably see how long I could wait there in case anyone came by. At least you know that people do go there, even if it's going to be a while. There's fruit and trees and other bare basics available. Try and make a better camp for it, improve the conditions for myself until the help came. That's what I'd do.
Well, Yossi actually seriously considered this later on. He thought about even finding and raising chickens. Considered becoming a Robinson Crusoe of the jungle. He figured it would be months and tried to plan out staying for about 6 months or so until the miners returned. But he wanted to find his way out.
Brave. Maybe a little stupid, but I guess it's kind of worked for him.
Well, he sets off on his journey again, and he's determined to keep to the river. Yossi estimated he was only a few days away from civilization. He would need to pick up the pace, however, because the rainy season was supposed to hit any day now, and he wanted to make sure he wasn't caught in it. So he set off again, trying to cover as much ground as he could in daylight, hoping he would run into Kevin along the way, as they headed for the same place. As he's walking, he notices a large boot print similar to that of his own. He calls out for Kevin, frantically following the broken branches until he stumbles back onto his own campsite with discarded fruit peels. Yossi felt desperate and at a loss. So he decided to take an amphetamine to give him the energy to go on despite his feet causing him agony.
Well, after his experience, if anyone needs to pick me up, it's him.
So Yossi continues on as much as he can, sticking to the rivers, and finds a nice little beach area. He decides to set up camp, but as he's surveying the area, he notices several jaguar paw prints in the mud and undergrowth. Upon further inspection, he finds soft and still warm jaguar poop.
Wow.
He actually, for reasons that didn't make too much sense, decided to camp there for the night. He was too scared to sleep.
I would be too. Why not just keep going?
It was getting dark, and if he kept moving, it would be more dangerous.
More dangerous than sleeping in a jaguar's litter box? Was he afraid of El Chupacabra?
Well, he stayed until it got light, and then as fast as he could hobble, he got out of there, taking another amphetamine. But before he leaves the beach, he decides to leave a sign in case anyone looked for him or Kevin was behind him. He left an arrow pointing in the direction he was travelling, a letter Y in stones and logs, and the date, like a 12 for the 12th of December.
Good thinking.
So, something happens here that they left out in the movie, but I am absolutely not leaving this out of the story. Yossi, at one point, when climbing over a raised platform, slipped and fell down. His walking spear stick also fell, and Yossi landed right on it.
Ouch.
A real eye-watering ouch. The pointy end went through his trousers and underwear, up his anus, and pierced his rectum.
Oh, that made me wince.
It actually gave me goosebumps when I read it. The rectal wound poured blood, and Yossi had to stem the bleeding with his fingers by putting them up inside where the tear was. My eyes actually watered when I read that part too. Yossi hobbled slowly through the jungle, cursing himself. His feet were infected and had almost no flesh on them, and pus and blood oozed through his socks, rubbing off the insides of his shoes.
That's so gross.
I thought I'd paint that nice picture for you there.
Thank you.
Yossi finally came across another river feeding into the one that he was following. This is where it was supposed to be the landmark he was looking for, only it seemed a bit too soon considering the pace he was travelling, and it was on the opposite side of the river from the map and from what Carl had said. He was confused. The river wasn't on the map that he was following. He looked out for the landmarks that Carl had told him about, but didn't see any of them. La Cura Playa was smaller than he had expected, and the beach and the island just before the canyon weren't there.
You'd kind of think that it would have dawned on him by now that Carl's stories were made up or extreme embellishments of the truth.
I know. Yossi figured he would probably be about one day away from finding his way out. He found traces of a campsite that made him think that. Scorched earth patches on the ground and an attempt of a shelter. He knew he may be close to San Jose.
He didn't think it was Kevin this time, did he?
He toyed with the idea, but it was too old of a campsite to be Kevin. He kept his spirits high, imagining himself sleeping in a bed the following day in San Jose. He crossed the river to the left bank, as that's where he would need to be to get to San Jose. After walking on the left bank for a bit, he heard thunder and lightning crack and roar overhead.
That means rain is coming.
It does. So there wasn't really anywhere safe for Yossi to camp on that side of the river. So he thought about heading back to that little campsite he found recently to hunker down there and wait for it to stop. He crossed over and walked back. Just as he got there, the rain began. Quickly, he tried to set up camp. There were no caves or crevices or anything he could use for shelter. So Yossi tried to move in against a tree for shelter and covered himself with a mosquito net and poncho.
That sounds miserable.
It sounds awful. The rain was intense and the storm stopped Yossi from sleeping. The rain soaked everything and the rivers were swelling. Yossi dived, as he does many times throughout the ordeal, into his imagination to take him away from the horrifying reality of the situation he was in. Thinking about the adventures he'd been on, ones that he would go on once he got out, and memories of home.
Well, if you know you're just going to have to sit and suffer, you're going to have to do something to take your mind off it. It actually reminds me of Yuliani when she was in the jungle and the rain wouldn't let her sleep and she was just soaked to the bone nearly the whole time.
Me too. He tried to keep his feet dry by putting them in the pack. He was snapped back to reality by a stream of water running down his back. It was a strong enough stream and he looked around him. Water was now everywhere. The rivers had burst their banks. Tiny creeks were now full-flowing rivers. Trees had started to be uprooted and carried down the Tucci River. The ground beneath him became soft and soggy. Yossi needed to get out. He was about to be in a flash flood. Water rose and tried sweeping him into the river. The current was so strong that Yossi had to cling to trees to avoid being sucked downstream. There, he pushed himself from tree to tree, fighting the current to get to higher ground.
That sounds like an actual nightmare. Did he still have the pack?
Yes, he did.
That'll make it harder again to move and not be dragged back in. I can't imagine even the beating of the water against one tree. You'd think that would break a rib or something when he's been malnourished for so long.
Pretty amazing. So, Yossi got to a point where the water wasn't sucking him in anymore, as he got a bit deeper into the jungle and away from the river and its banks. The jungle was muddy and swampy, and walking through that caused his feet to rub on the insides of his shoes. It was agony. Again, he was too afraid to look at his feet or even take off his socks, as they burned and made it difficult to walk or rest. He set up camp for the night and reached into his bag, getting out the lucky book and kissing it. He prayed. He had now spent 16 days alone in the jungle.
Whoa, over 2 weeks alone trying to stay alive in the jungle. That actually is a miracle.
Well, on the 17th day, he found more miracles. He found a tiny tree pushed over from the storm, and he was able to eat and keep a few pieces for later. He now believed in that book. He was walking through the jungle chasing some prey when he cut his arm pretty badly on a branch. Yossi didn't even have time to properly register what had happened when he heard a droning noise. It was a plane. He yelled for help and ran frantically down towards the river.
Oh, the hope that would give you.
Well, it was short-lived, I'm afraid. He looked up and saw a white plane, but hadn't made it through to a clearing in time, and it flew overhead and flew away.
Oh, that's a crushing blow.
It was, but it was also short-lived because his attention was now turned to his burning feet. He had just run through the jungle and that stint tore the skin from his feet and fire burned in them. He said he prayed for death in that moment. He collapsed as he couldn't stand on them anymore.
Oh, I can actually almost feel it.
My feet are feeling sensitive just talking about it. He was utterly exhausted, in pain, alone, and didn't want to live anymore. Then he suddenly heard a woman lying beside him and crying. She was naked. He didn't know her at all. He didn't recognize her as anyone. But she cried about the plane flying away and being stuck in the jungle. He tried to console her, offering her words of encouragement and hope. She seemed to calm down slightly, and he helped her up and pressed on, telling her that they would walk out together. This plane flew overhead and away twice. The girl cried and Yossi consoled her once again. He offered her hope and would tell her of the wonderful things they would experience once they got out.
Is he not wondering why a naked woman suddenly appeared?
Not really, no.
Well, if you're going to go crazy in the jungle, I'd rather my Wilson equivalent was a naked woman too. I'm kidding, but she sounds like the social bunny rabbit from The Sims games.
She does, the imaginary character that acts as a friend, but like more of a therapist.
Yeah, they actually based the social bunny after the character Frank from Donnie Darko, who was his guide through the movie.
Wow, I was not aware of that. So, in this mental state, and after the second plane flew away, Yossi made the decision to head back to the Jaguar Beach.
The one with jaguar droppings?
Yes, that one. It was an open clearing and he would be able to leave signs like his red poncho.
Oh, of course. The signs with his initials and date would have been washed away by now with the floods.
Exactly. He was going to have to head back and make a new one. So he and the naked lady turned around and went back. He was slow and explained to her that they would go back to be rescued and that they were searching for them and they just needed to be seen. He would plead with her and teach her how to do things. He would get frustrated with her. How would she like it if she had to carry the bag? His feet were in worse condition than hers. He's the one who had to come up with the good ideas and find food for them.
Wow, he's fully lost it now.
Almost. It wasn't until Yossi caught himself making a bed for the both of them that he realised he was fully falling into his delusions. He was starting to lose his mind. He tried to snap himself out of it. He was in poor physical condition too. His wounds weren't healing. The edges of them were constantly white because he was always wet. And the rash from his feet began spreading up his legs. He had a lump on his forehead.
So basically he's rotting alive.
Yeah.
That's so rough.
Well, he continued through the jungle towards Jaguar Beach and found a little island on the river. He hadn't noticed it on the way down.
Something tells me he's not on the same path he was coming down.
He wasn't. But this is where he finds some dates on the ground. Wet and muddy, and some half eaten. He gathered up as many as he could, sucking off the mud and spitting it out before consuming the date. Above him in the trees were monkeys who watched him. They began to tease him, and they would take a date, bite a bit out of it, and then throw them on the ground and at his head as he ran around trying to gather and eat them. He was desperate.
Cheeky monkeys.
I see what you did there. He continued on heading down towards Jaguar Beach, confused as to why he couldn't find it. He put it down to walking more slowly because of his feet and having to console the naked woman. It began frustrating him. He heard another plane. He hobbled up the river looking for the beach. Why couldn't he find it? Surely it wasn't that far away. As he walked through the jungle with the river within sight, he walked straight into a mud pit. He began to sink. His feet were stuck. Yossi was also desperate not to lose his shoes. He reached in and tried to pull his legs free, but it was useless. He couldn't believe that after all he'd been through, he was going to die in a mud pit, and they would never find his body. He feared drowning in the mud. He pulled his arms free and reached into his bag. He took out the bottle of amphetamine pills and contemplated taking a handful so the death wouldn't be so traumatic.
Oh, could you imagine drowning in mud after all that?
It would be a horrible way to die. But as Yossi held some pills in the palm of his hand, he changed his mind. He'd been through too much already to give up now. He thought about his mother and how devastated she would be. So, leg by leg, he started kicking forwards and up, loosening the mud before him and thickening it below. After shuffling forward, he was able to get himself out. It took him 45 minutes to walk his way out. He knew he had to stay calm.
I don't know how anyone could stay calm in that.
Me either. After he got out, he managed to rescue his bag and stick from the mud pit. He set up camp once again and covered himself in mosquito nets and the poncho. He slipped his stinging feet into the bag and tried to sleep on the leaves that he'd made as a bed. This next part is insane.
The whole thing's been pretty crazy, but I'm ready.
So, Yossi was lying down, exhausted and hungry. He'd wanted to talk to the woman, but knew that it would be playing into his delusions. So he tried to sleep. but as he laid there, he realized he needed to pee. He was so tired and so sore that he would have to get up and stand on his stinging feet and take off the mosquito nets. He wrestled with the idea of getting up, but ultimately urinated on himself. He was too tired and too sore to get up. The warmth of his urine felt good on his legs. He urinated on himself 2 more times that night.
Oh, wouldn't that sting and irritate the wounds, though, that he had on his legs and his thighs?
Yeah, but he didn't care at the time. He did awaken that night, though, to a sharp pain on his leg. Something bit him. He felt furiously for it, and it was a giant ant clamped on. He was confused. He tried to knock it off, and it bit him again, even harder. He grabbed its body and ripped it off. The head and pincers were still clamped into the skin of his leg, and he ripped them out too. How had an ant gotten in? He was wrapped in nets. Was it already inside when he wrapped himself? Then he felt another. He winced, then another, and they kept coming, biting at him. He sat up and he started killing them. There were hundreds. It was dark and he couldn't see very well, but in the moonlight, he could see the bodies racking up where he'd discarded them between his legs.
I'd get up and run.
Me too. But he was too sore to run, and for hours he kept killing them. One even got into the bag around his feet and bit the sole of his foot.
Oh, his decaying feet.
Yeah, those feet. Yossi says in the book that he can't even put into words for anyone what that night was like for him and the pain that it caused. Finally, when the light came up, Yossi was able to see what happened. Apart from the large pile of ant corpses, the ground was alive with termites.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They started eating through everything. His mosquito nets were filled with holes, as was his poncho, and they started eating his bag and shoes. Yossi leapt up and tried to shake them off.
Had he slept on a termite's nest?
Worse. He remembered something Carl had said. They were attracted to urine.
No way. So when he soiled himself, they came running?
Yes, as did the ants.
That's unbelievable.
One of the many reasons they didn't put it into the film. Once he got away with the pack and shoes, he rooted through them to see what was left that they hadn't destroyed, then walked on towards Jaguar Beach.
That's just made me really itchy, by the way.
Like when someone mentions fleas. Still confused as to why he didn't see it, Yossi was losing his faith and stamina. This is where he remembered the incident with the fire ants when they'd first set off in the jungle. He remembered how badly their bites burned. So Yossi found the tree that they had been attracted to most, and covered himself in those fire ants.
On purpose?
Yeah, on purpose. Bet you're feeling itchy now. He did it to forget about the pain of his feet. He ended up running into another mud pit too, but got himself out. He said when he ran into the second one, he doesn't actually know how he got himself out. All he said was that something helped him because he didn't have the strength, but suddenly he was free.
I can see why he's believing in this book now.
So do I. Finally, he found a beach area with a grass hut. He wondered why he hadn't noticed that the first time he came down. He laid down for an hour to just rest. He looked up and saw a sign, and he thought he was back in La Cura Playa. He figured the flood had just washed away the other huts and that this was the only one left. So Yossi set up his mosquito net that did have holes in it now. For the first time in over a week, he took off his socks. It took him some courage to work up to doing so.
They have got to be in a horrible state. I'd be so afraid to look in case a toe came off in my sock.
Well, he peeled them off, which was agony on its own. He was horrified when he looked at them. He literally had no skin left on his feet. It had all worn and sloughed off, eaten into by this infection. His toes were stuck together with pus, blood and sebum. He couldn't cover his feet with anything. Even the breeze sent shivers of pain up his spine.
Oh, I can almost feel that.
Me too. He hadn't eaten in almost a week. He was injured and exhausted. It was the 19th of December, a Saturday. Yossi knew it would be at least Monday before another plane would look for him. So he knew he had a couple of days to wait there and rest and await rescue. Once it got past Monday, it would be the 21st and close to Christmas, and then the search parties would stop for the holidays, and it could be January before they resumed. He even told his own brother not to look for him until January if he hadn't heard anything by the 15th.
I bet he regrets that now.
I bet he does. Dawn came and he thought he heard helicopters, but he was actually fever dreaming. He thought about staying here again, create a mini ranch type of campsite, raise wild pigs and chickens and the like until help arrived. He thought he'll be famous if he's found alive.
He's not wrong.
Oh, he's not. Yossi literally thought about how to do that though, to build his little ranch, using bamboo as a fence to keep in his chickens, keep a fire going and never let it out. He'd build a shelter in the hillside in case of a flood that he could retreat up to.
Wow, long-term survival thoughts there.
Yeah. Well, his plans were disturbed by a pain in his gut. He was constipated. He hadn't passed any feces in a week. He strained to try and pass anything, but as he did that, it reopened the wound in his rectum, which began to sting and bleed again.
This story is so much gorier than I was anticipating.
It really is. It's gorier than I was anticipating too. Well, I'll just finish this gross part off. He had to use his finger to stem the bleeding and remove the hard feces that was stuck there.
Oh, that poor guy.
So, I'll just move on now from those gruesome details. He slept in the hut again that night and awakes on the 22nd of December to a droning noise. He thought it was a bee. It was so close, it was almost in his ears. He thought a bee had gotten in through the net. But when he woke up a little bit more, he realized it wasn't a bee and sat up to look around. He realized there were four people disembarking from a motorized boat on the opposite side of the river. He tried to call out to them, but he was too weak. He staggered towards them, pleading with whatever had been watching over him that they would see him. And they did. Yossi, one cried out. Stay there. It was Kevin.
Oh, wow.
It's an awful lot of luck for one person. Kevin came across the river, ran to Yossi and embraced him. Then one of the men from the boat, whose name was Tico, came up with three bread rolls and gave them to Yossi. Yossi tore them apart and stuffed them in his mouth, starving. After that, Tico gave him some tuna and five bananas. Yossi polished them all off.
Is that such a good idea? Surely he has to be careful.
There's actually a name for that, refeeding syndrome. I thought about that too after being so malnutritioned for so long. You'd think he could get sick or possibly die from eating that much that fast.
It would send the body into shock.
Yeah, but it didn't. Anyway, they told him to get into the canoe quickly. Yossi wanted the poncho. Kevin ran and got it for him and carried Yossi into the canoe. Yossi laid back as they made their way down the river and started weeping. He couldn't hold it in any longer. It seemed so surreal. He'd done it. He'd survived. He was rescued. They travelled down river but actually had to stop and set up camp for the night. Even on a motorised boat, they were still a day away. Kevin washed Yossi's feet, dressed them and applied a cream and put on new clean socks. It stung, but it felt so good. A doctor had given Kevin the cream after he'd been rescued. His feet were the same, although not as bad as Yossi's. It was a fungal infection and healed his feet in a matter of days. They laid together, had a smoke, and Kevin told him about his story and how he got out and came to find Yossi. He knew that Yossi would survive and he didn't die in the canyon. He asked Yossi about when he checked his bag. He still had rice and beans left.
Oh yeah, because he kept them for Kevin. Strangely wholesome moment.
It was. Yossi told Kevin that he wanted to save it in case Kevin came back or in case he was there for longer.
Did you tell him what happened to him?
Yes. So, Kevin, when they split up, got to shore and got his shoes and machete. Nothing else. Then he watched Yossi go over the edge of the waterfall. Kevin was going to follow it downstream to find Yossi. He would walk along the top part of the canyon, meet Yossi where it smoothed out, and he could descend. When he descended and got down lower, Kevin walked along until he found a part of the river he could cross to be on the left side. That's where San Jose was supposed to be. So he filled his shirt and trousers with wood chippings to make him buoyant enough to float if he ever got swept downstream a bit.
That's so clever.
I would have never thought of that. When he crossed and had to climb onto the other side, he came across the feathers of a parrot everywhere. Then he saw the body. It was still warm and it was a fresh kill.
That's lucky, but who killed it?
Well, as he picked it up to eat it, a large vulture flew up, looked him straight in the eye, furious that he'd just stolen his kill.
Chances are Kevin needs it more.
Indeed, it was his logic too. He followed the streams to the river and found some balsa logs, which were the logs that the last raft was made from.
It wasn't from the last raft though, was it?
No, these were just from the jungle, like broken off or fallen branches.
Okay, because that would have been too much.
He consumed every fleshy, soft piece he could, even the brains.
Wait, why are we mentioning brains again?
Because it happened. Kevin's feet were damp and raw. He used the machete to whittle himself a walking stick. It was to help reduce the weight on his feet and help him with the pain. He kept looking for landmarks that Carl had mentioned, but found none. When he was several hours into walking, he realized he left his machete behind from when he made the walking stick.
Oh no.
He decided not to go back for it.
I cannot believe that. That machete would be my Wilson at this point.
Mine too. Anyway, he went on with a stick instead of a machete. But on the fourth day, he couldn't go on. He was in so much pain that he couldn't walk any further. So he laid down. He spoke aloud to Marcus to say how sorry he was that he didn't believe how sore his feet were. He promised he'd apologize when he saw him in person. He dipped his feet into the river and let the cool water run over them. He used the balsa log and held onto it as he bobbed down along the river. He got out, and when it got rougher, he got back in when it was calmer.
Again, pretty clever.
It was. He tried to make a raft, but the logs were rotten and no good. Only one was of any use. So he straddled it and rowed it down the river.
I can actually picture that right now.
He got stuck in a whirlpool at one point, but managed to get out. When that happened, he got off the log and got out of the water.
Can't say I blame him.
Then he saw two thatched huts and called out for Yossi, hoping he'd be in one of them. But he wasn't. He knew he was in La Cura Playa, and San Jose wasn't too far away. Then he noticed two men in the jungle in the bush. He called out to them. So first of all, they were a father and son hunting duo and only went out twice a year for a week to go hunting. So that's pretty incredible and reminds me of Juliana and the people who found her. And the second point here is it was different. So Yossi basically found out that he was in a place called Progreso and not La Cura Playa. So Yossi hadn't missed them.
Ah, okay.
With the hunter's help, he finally got to San Jose and went to their ranch, where he rested and ate. He slept there and on the next morning, on horseback, went to San Jose main town. From there, they headed to Rurrenabaque on the river. When he got there, the townspeople were amazed and treated his feet. The locals told him to give up looking for Yossi because there is no way that he's still alive.
Whoa.
This was echoed everywhere. Kevin went to the army, the American embassy, the Israeli embassy, the Swiss embassy, all asking for help searching for his friends.
Was there no sign of Marcus and Carl at all?
Nothing. They never even made it to Asriamas, which was only 3 days away and where they had just come from.
Oh no.
So, Kevin seemed to be the only survivor at this point. The Swiss embassy took some convincing. The American embassy were sympathetic to his story, but happy he was alive, but they didn't really care to help with the search party. Then he went to the Austrian embassy, and this is where he got a response he wasn't expecting.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, so the Austrian embassy, when Kevin told him his story, laughed at the thought of Carl being lost out in the jungle. Carl was a wanted man. Wanted not only by the Austrian police, but also Interpol. They thought he had done them a favour and gotten himself killed and didn't want to facilitate in him coming back out alive.
So he was a con man?
Yes. Although they weren't quite sure why he led them all into the jungle, the embassy couldn't care less anyway and offered condolences on the other members of his group, lost and assumed dead in the jungle. The story of Carl's uncle was a lie. He was the anti-Semitic fugitive, not his uncle.
Oh, do you think he led them all out to the jungle to kill Yossi because he was Jewish at all?
Who knows? After a lot of back and forth of begging and telling his story, trying to get a search party, he managed to get 3 planes. But even the pilot was getting frustrated that Kevin had hope. He said a gringo would never last out there alive for that long.
Well, he also did go down the San Pedro Canyon. That gets its name for a reason.
Yeah, literally everyone had given up hope. The only one who believed he was still alive was Kevin. The priest and nun there offered condolences. After enough pestering to get the boat back up and down the river to look for him, an officer told him of someone who might be able to help. That's when he was introduced to Tico. He explained to Tico what had happened, and he offered to help as he was heading up that way to go hunting anyway. Kevin came along and they hunted and killed a deer fawn on the trip. The second time they stopped off to hunt again, Tico began to give up and turn around when Kevin saw the huts. He thought of Yossi, then saw him walking out of that hut.
Yossi would have to wonder if he was seeing things again.
Kevin too. Well, they were all shocked. When they got back to Rurrenabaque, they told Yossi about the storm and that it was the worst rainfall they had seen in over a decade. They couldn't believe he was alive. Everyone wanted to hear his story and gave him gifts and flowers. The doctor helped to pull leeches from his hair and opened up the lump on his head, which Tico told him was a worm from a mosquito under his skin. So they blew smoke over it and wiggled it out a little bit. When it surfaced, they squeezed it and pulled a writhing worm from his forehead. Kevin had them too. The doctor helped him remove 10 more from his body, but this time with a blade and swabs, and when he got to San Paolo. They couldn't wait to see Marcus, but he hadn't arrived at the hotel still. Yossi went on to the Israeli embassy to tell his story and call his parents. The first words his father said to him was, "Don't you ever do anything like that again," and then passed it to his mother.
Classic.
Kevin organized a search party to go back to the jungle and look for Marcus and Carl. Yossi wanted to join, but no one would let him. So Kevin went back and found no traces of either of them.
Nothing at all?
Nothing. No broken branches, no signs of a campsite, no remnants of clothing. Absolutely nothing.
That's so weird.
Very. And it's still a mystery to this day. Kevin and Yossi did some travelling together and even went to Rio de Janeiro for the carnival. Kevin went home and Yossi went to go home too, but made a stop off at Marcus's parents to tell them what had happened and to express his regrets and sorrows over their loss.
Oh, that's so respectful of him.
It really was. Marcus's mum, however, was convinced he was still alive. She begged him not to give up looking. She even went so far as to see a psychic who told her he was still alive. He had been saved by a remote tribe who had healed him, and he in turn stayed to help them out. She gave the location as to where he was.
Wow, that's pretty out there, but I guess in desperate times people do desperate things.
The weird thing is the place that she located was absolutely possible. Yossi even discussed it with local people in the plaza, and the guide agreed that if he was to be anywhere, it would be there, and that there were tribes there in that area.
Obviously he wasn't there, since we know it remains a mystery.
Yeah, he wasn't. He showed the picture of Marcus and no one had seen him. They tried 10 different tribes and there was nothing. Marcus's mum also went to look for him in the jungle, but came back empty-handed.
Oh, I didn't know that. That makes it way more upsetting.
It really does. As for Carl, Yossi spoke with the priest and nun who had helped him before. They said that there had been word on Carl. Apparently, he had been seen, and there was even a recent photo of him, but the photo didn't have a date, so it couldn't be guaranteed. Yossi tried to investigate further to see what had happened, but couldn't get anyone to corroborate the story. Incidentally, you cannot find much info on this man at all. Like, it's a miracle I found a picture of him. Nothing on him being a wanted man either. He appears for this story alone. There is a conspiracy theory online that Carl never really existed and that Yossi and Kevin made him up.
But they have a picture of him.
I know, but it's like one, maybe two photos, because Kevin gave nearly all the film reels to Marcus before they parted ways. So there are almost no photos of this trip. And somewhere in the jungle out there are the reels with pictures of that great adventure before it all went wrong. I'll let you know how Yossi got on after that in a second, but I wanted to talk about Kevin quickly. He went on and met an Israeli woman, married her, moved to Tel Aviv, and has two children. He's still best friends with Yossi.
Oh, that's a nice ending for him.
It really is. Yossi had a rough time afterwards. He wasn't finished travelling, but now he had a major connection with South America. When Yossi returned to La Paz in 1987, it was much bigger and busier than when he'd last left it. The tourism had increased dramatically. An Israeli magazine contacted him and asked him about his story and if he was willing to go and visit the jungle again, remarkably similar to Yuliani Kupke and the documentary crew. So Yossi went back, retracing his journey through the jungle. He felt calmed by it and it reignited his passion for the area. He stayed there for 3 years and helped open the Shalalan, which is an eco-resort. He stayed there from 1992 to 1995 in the Amazon. Whilst there, apart from the eco-resort, he co-founded Ethnor Bios, a biodiversity prospecting company.
Which is what exactly?
It's a company that looks for biochemicals or natural genetics to be made into commercially viable products and other applications.
So people that look for things like aloe vera and other plants that we can stick into a gel at some point.
Yeah, in its most basic form. Yossi went on to become an addiction specialist and was the vice president of CETA, a medical corporation that developed a new procedure to detox opioid addicts under general anesthesia. He ended up opening 12 treatment centers worldwide for the opioid and amphetamine crisis. He even traveled to Thailand and China to help there when he finally settled in Australia, where he spends most of his time when he's not traveling as a keynote speaker. He set up a foundation called the Alma Libre Foundation. It's a foundation aimed to help opioid addicts reintegrate into society and life. I tried to find it online, but the website has expired. To be fair, it has been a while since he set it up. He's doing a lot more now at 61, so it doesn't surprise me that he's let something go. Yossi is the founder of Headbox and Blink, two innovative mobile applications.
Cool. Did he ever get married?
Yes, 3 times. He is still currently married to his third wife, Belinda, who he married in 2002, and lives in Australia with her and their two young children. He has an older daughter who is about the same age as me, if not a little bit older, and I couldn't get any more info on his first child. All I know is one of his children has mental disabilities. In 2010, he opened up a design gallery dedicated to recycled materials, and he travels the world cooperating with artists and artisans.
Greta Thunberg would disapprove.
She probably would. Can't say I wouldn't see her point in this case. So, as you can see, he has been a very busy man. He has found things challenging outside of the jungle. He's had people try to discredit his story and threaten him. He has had to overcome many obstacles and hardships, such as two divorces and being the father of a child with disabilities.
That's a lot for anyone.
It is. Yossi has written four books. The Heart of the Amazon was his first, released in 1999. Lost in the Jungle was in 2005, and Laws of the Jungle in 2006, and Jungle, A Harrowing Tale in 2016. I read the newest one, and it was really good. I would recommend it. There are some more details in there, and it's more eloquently told in the book. It also delves deeper into his mental state, and I would say it's really worth the buy.
Well, looking back now, the movie really just skims the surface. I know you told me it was true, but there's so much they left out. Basically, the only thing that wasn't true was the butterflies you would see on occasion.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, certain timelines are blurred and mixed a bit, but it was essentially a true story. Just bland in comparison to what actually happened.
Yeah, I really liked that movie.
So did I. I don't even know if I would say read the book first, since either way you should just read it, because the film really doesn't do it justice, despite being a decent film. The movie Jungle was released in 2017 with Daniel Radcliffe as Yossi. He was really good.
He was. He's a national treasure.
There's also a documentary with Yossi called I Shouldn't Be Alive, made in 2005. He's still going strong and not finished making his mark on this world yet. And finally, after that super long episode, I am finally done with Yossi Ginsberg.
Wow, that was an incredible tale. What a life he's had, and look what he's done with what he's been given. He's not made lemonade from the lemons life has given him, he's planted an orchard. Very impressive. As per usual, we'll put all of the pictures up on our Facebook and Instagram pages. Just head to Not Me, Not Today podcast, so you can check those out. You can now find the link in the description box. And don't forget to leave us a review.
If you have any suggestions or want to ask us any questions, just send an email to notmenottodaypodcast@gmail.com.
Until next time, stay alive.
Bye.